Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, 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 welcome back, everybody, to the Mission Accepted podcast show. You are by far the best audience, and I know that you hear me say that each week because it's actually true. You know me, I only tell the truth. And even though I have a podcast host guest on today, you still are the best podcast host audience because you guys are sending out, you're just like, you're full of, you know, what we would say, gumption. So you're sending out the podcast, you're sharing the word, and you guys are sending me messages, asking me questions, joining the Facebook group, being super interactive. And so I so appreciate, but you guys get to hear what you want when you do that. So keep up the good work. If you have not been to Mission Accepted podcast before, welcome if this is your first show. We do some pretty cool stuff here. So you might be the same kind of person that I'm interviewing. And if you're like, I'd love to be on the show, get on here. But this is a show where I share gem stories and we kind of dig under the skin a little bit with entrepreneurs and ultrapreneurs. And if you don't know what an ultrapreneur is, well, that's what our guest is today. And also people that are creative. So it's the music, the directors, the actors, the artists, the painters, and then also those self-funded media, you know, those diehard, hardworking TV hosts and radio hosts and podcast hosts. So people that have that entrepreneurial spirit that at some point, for whatever reason, took on the mission. Some people take it on because it's just screaming so loud, they just got to do it. They just can't not do this project anymore. And some people have their back against the wall and their job fell out or their industry ended. And they're like, okay, I'm finally going to, you know, go and do something on my own, no matter how crazy or scared that I am. I don't feel like I have any choice. So all of you and then some, and honestly, if you're here to listen to have some stories and pick up some gemstones and meet some really cool people and have some laughs, I mean, honestly, that's truly what we do. Okay. So we have a good time here. So I don't want to keep talking. I want to introduce you to someone who is an absolute gemstone. He is a media mogul. This man does it all and he makes impact. I mean, my gosh, this guy, we got to ask him, you guys, why Tony Robbins walked up to him and asked for his audiograph. Oh my gosh, there's a new word. Let's do it, Dave. You are the
audiograph.
Someone asked for my audiograph. That's so sweet. Millennial. That's so Gen Z. That's so Gen Z. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you would like my audiograph? Here, let me send you the video and I'll, you know, DM you my autograph. Oh my gosh. Okay. Only on the show does this happen. Anyways, this man is a media mogul. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a podcast host. He's done radio shows. He's done it all. And, you know, hats off to you. So Dave, welcome to Mission Accepted.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. Good to see you again. And wow, what a day. I decided to show up in my Doctor Who studio here because I've got Benedict Cumberbatch queued to come in that door over there any minute.
Awesome. You are on it. I told you guys, he's a media mogul. So look, there's, you know, there's the other side to you or the combined side that's super big-hearted. You're a big-hearted man. You have strong spiritual principles. Let's talk about how this whole thing started. Because when you start to tell people what you do, and you know, particularly right now on your big love for the whole arena around encouragement, how did you get started here, my friend? How did you become that entrepreneur at the very beginning?
You know, I realized that looking back, I was just interviewing some guy from Arkansas this morning, and we had a similar thing. I had a paper route. I was selling flower seeds door to door when I was 10. It was like this entrepreneurial thing was kind of built in, but I didn't know that that's what it was called. And I ended up discovering when I found out that my big brother was varsity everything in sports in high school, and I tried to follow my big brother, and I totally sucked at sports. So I ended up getting into the debate and drama team, which gave me, here's how I realized that I needed to be a disc jockey, because part of the deal when you're on the debate team is you got to give the school announcements over a microphone and the Pledge of Allegiance, if we remember what that was about. And so what was weird was my friends were saying, Dave, we actually listen to the announcements when you're talking. And then right about the same time, it was way back when transistor radios existed. And at nighttime, I could pick up WLS Chicago, which was a very famous early Beatles mania rock and roll station. It started out as a Midwest farm report station until the British invasion. And so I late at night, I could, and I'm thinking, oh man, I love this. I want to be a disc jockey. So, then in high school, I started my own newspaper and kind of got in trouble with that. It was a little risque when I had a friend that could do caricatures of the school teachers and make fun of them, and the band teacher wanted to sue me. So I actually did get kicked out of high school, but that's because I skipped too many history classes. So anyway, all that to say, I ended up going to college too early in Boston. I was only 17, so I was working three jobs and dropped out, went back home and worked for a couple of years, and I got to be 21 years old, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm getting so old, I better finish college. So I ended up going all the way to Oklahoma, having never been west of the Mississippi River, and the rest is history. I ended up working all over the United States at 10 different radio stations and having my own ad agency and doing TV commercials and getting an award from Mark Victor Hansen, chicken soup guy, met him down in Orlando, and all the stuff it's not to impress you, it's to impress upon you, as we say, that things happen in people's lives. And I've had, totally disastrous business careers and things that happened, but like everybody, they've got a story to tell. And it's like the old joke, an overnight success after 30 years.
Oh, I can so relate to that. I mean, I love how you tell your story in relationship to, like, you know, being kicked out of school because you didn't go to this, or having that big brother where you're like, you thought that was the path that you needed to duplicate, or all of that, because I think so many of us still, in our mind, no matter if we're in high school or in college or what have you, do a lot of comparison stuff, do a lot of, hey, their businesses look successful, mine maybe not so much. And many times, and I just talked about in the intro, about sometimes we become an entrepreneur or we change direction in our entrepreneurship because our back's against the wall. So, you know, you had this epiphany at 21, like your life was over. That happened to me at 25. I was like, I never wanted to celebrate my birthday. I thought I should have had it all together by then. I remember talking to my mother and just like, I'm not married. I don't have children. I don't have a career. I don't know where I'm going. And, you know, so then I, you know, of course, hop a plane and figure I'm going to go over to Montreal and study women's studies and change women. Change women's studies and religious studies and change the impact of women all around the world. That's what I wanted to do, because that's what I felt deemed to do. And I thought I was going to do it through university, and I thought I was going to do it through speaking. Ironically, it didn't go that way, because the course got canceled, the religious studies. And ironically, I ended up getting pregnant with my daughter. So I couldn't take a 4-year women's studies course. So here I am, my daughter is now 28. And what have I been doing for the last 10 years? Empowering women, speaking all over the world, you know, branching out and pioneering women's entrepreneurship in my country. So sometimes you think you want something and it's got to look like this, and then it ends up looking like this. I mean, you really, you know, people listen to you on the, you know, what was it, the intercom? Is that what they called it when you did announcements in school? And then all of a sudden you're listening to this radio station that was doing farm reports, thank God to the Beatles. And then all of a sudden you're like, I want to be a disc jockey. I mean, that's the messy bits. That's the part really of the entrepreneurship that we don't talk about so much, that people go, oh man, there's 1,000 different journeys to the same location, right?
Right. So, oh, exactly. Yeah. So I get down to Oklahoma, and I'm kind of like, freaking out because I'm thinking, oh boy, you know, what's the culture down there like in Oklahoma? You know, and is it going to be weird? And do I have to wear a white belt and white shoes or what? And it turns out that my professors were all Yankees that had gone to college in Boston, worked on their doctor's degree and from up north. So there's I connected them years later as well when I lived in New Hampshire. And while I was there, I had I get to my senior year and I took a lot of summer school so I could knock out college since they carried over my D's from college in Boston for some reason. To get to be a sophomore, I had to take this remedial reading course on this primitive computer looking thing where you could press a button and make it go faster and faster and learn how to read paragraphs all at the same time for speed reading. And so I got to be a senior and somebody says, hey, Dave, you ought to go up to seminary, to graduate school in Kansas City. And now that you're a senior and I'm thinking, oh, well, I had two months. I graduated in May, June. I had 2 months before I did move to Kansas City. And so I found this guy, Johnny Dark, WKY radio. It was a big, what we call a flamethrower, 50,000 watt AM station. You could hear it all over the country. And he had a little strip mall store doing a training, a broadcasting school, the John Dark School of Broadcasting. His show, his show was called Dark in the Morning, but he worked with people like Merv Griffin and Walter Cronkite worked at the station, a famous station. I had no clue. Again, totally a clueless kid, but so I thought, well, I can take this 6-week course. Back then, you actually had to have an FCC license just to be a disc jockey. You had to learn how to triangulate towers and all this math and stuff. So I knocked it out. I had this. Now this certificate that I can take with me to Kansas City. And I ended up getting interviewed by this radio station. Well, actually, I went around all these radio stations, and that's when Rush Limbaugh was a rock and roll disc jockey under a different name at some station. And you know, like a lot of prima donnas, I go over there, hey, I get lost, kid, you know. But his station ended up being sold to another company. And I got my first job, my first morning radio show, and I was famous for about 15 minutes. the story just continues. It's just crazy.
Oh, where's Dave gone? So if Dave might bleep out a little bit here and there because he's shooting live from, what is it, Costa Rica? Costa Rica. He's shooting live from Costa Rica. So he may go and he may come back, but I'm telling you, he is full of these kind of stories, and he'll interrupt me when he comes back on, but he's just full of these incredible kind of stories. And so Dave, have you joined us again? Did you go get yourself a Mai Tai? Oh, well, there we can see his beautiful face, but I guess he's still getting himself a Mai Tai. Okay. So the really incredible thing about Dave is you've already heard, he's just had such a colorful way. Oh, you got the Mai Tai. Okay. I was just talking to the audience about how you've had such a colorful life in your media world up to where you are now. So look, he's shaking his head. Yeah, it's still colorful. So let's go to, okay, you've had your 15 minutes of fame. And then, you know, like I intro'd you, somehow you've got people like Tony Robbins asking for your autograph. Like, people probably want to know what that's all about.
You know, I found out early on that I needed to invest in me. And the way I did that was as is suggested by a lot of leaders that we know, in fact, there's some leaders that you and I know personally. And so I ended up just going to see people that were, I was so thrilled to see Les Brown in San Jose, California. Come to find out, he was the disc jockey that introduced the Jackson 5, out of Indiana and all this stuff. And I was a disc jockey, and he was a disc jockey. So just to hear him and all these different, and then it was quite unknown to me that when I took a business trip to Cancun, I was with a particular company, direct marketing company, and I was doing a sales contest for this little team I had, and I paid for their trip and stuff. And I get down there and come to find out our CEO was a personal friend of Jim Rohn. And obviously this was before we lost Jim Rohn, because he was still alive in Cancun. Yeah. I got, what an incredible, who knew that I would get a chance to actually see this guy? And then I flew to Denver to take my grandkids out to dinner. And while I was there, Tony Robbins happened to be there. And he could talk 5 hours straight without taking a breath. Did you know that?
Wow.
So I've met lots of people. And as I mentioned, I did get to meet Mark Victor Hansen down in Orlando. He handed me this trophy for a TV commercial that I had produced. I spent $6,000 on a cable TV ad, and it produced about $120,000 in revenue over 3 or 4 months. And I didn't know it was going to do that, but Mark says, "Hey, if you've done this, we want to honor you." Blah blah blah. And got my picture taken with Mark and a guy named Bob Allen, who wrote about real estate and stuff. So it's just cool to hang around people that are. I like hanging around people that are inspiring and they're positive. They're good people. They've got an ethic, and they're also at a level higher than me, and not hanging around with, you know, you can be a winner or a whiner, and it's your choice.
Absolutely. I mean, I know that when we were talking, obviously we're talking about, you know, Jeff and Jim and all these thought leaders. And when I hear you say like you took like a 6-week course, or you took a course here, you course there, honestly, it's really no different now, right? The better you are on the inside, your circle changes, your vibration changes, different opportunities change. I was just at a trade event for, you know, I'm a fan as well of direct marketing. I think if you can build something that, you know, sustains you and sustains your life, then awesome. So I was there and I met these really cool guys, and you just don't, you meet people when you do things like that. I met these two old guys. Anyways, there's this incredible nanotechnology for oxygen and blah, blah, blah. So we go for this big 3-hour dinner, you know, and we're talking exactly about that. And so we were talking about businesses and business experiences. And I said, oh, you know, recently I just took a little bit of a hit on something that I, you know, that I did that I thought was going to work that didn't. And I didn't tell him the amount. And he goes, yeah, me too. He goes, you know what? I just had a really crappy experience. And, you know, someone got me for $3 million. And I was like, okay, so my problem's not so bad. But, you know, we're talking actually about the Dublin event, right? And I said, oh yeah, you know, it's music, supporting music. And he's like, so I'm kind of connecting him to the people that I know and nanotechnology and, you know, metaphysics. And he's like, oh yeah, so my friend knows the choreographer. He goes, you know, the guy that did the music for Slumdog Millionaire, would that be a good contact for your music events? And I'm like, sure. You know, if you want to connect us, let's do it. He's like, I think he's at a recording studio in Dubai. I'm like, not an issue. You know, so these conversations happen through the betterment of that 30-year instant success that you were talking about. I mean, Dave, I could talk to you forever. And I think your next book, if you don't want to have it already, I know there's a book that you've got right now. And let's get into talking about that, because it's a major component to success. What you're talking about is a major component to success. But I really, truly think you got to get those stories down on paper and the chapters of your life in relationship to business and success and joy and all of that. If you don't have it already, I'm going to encourage it. I'll buy your first book. I'll help you market it. How's that?
Awesome. Well, the guy that I interviewed this morning from Tennessee, his whole gig is helping business owners write a book without having to write it. They actually interview people and they just make it as an audio thing. And this guy creates the book. He's got a publishing company. And that's the kind of the concept is, which is kind of how I wrote my book. I went down, I don't know if you know a guy named Mike Koenig's You Everywhere Now out of San Diego. I went down 2015 for a long weekend, and the concept was get your book out. And it happened to hit number one bestseller on Amazon at that time. That's not a permanent placement, of course, but it wasn't about making money with a book. It was about getting my message out that there's something about encouraging someone. I look at name tags in the grocery store, these people are working at a minimal wage. Their head is down all day scanning things. And I look at their name tag and I call them by name, and you would not believe what that does for a person. It's just amazing all the little things that we can do to help people, to just encourage them. And I read about a guy in a famous book from 2000 years ago that talked about seeing people for what they could be for not and not for what they are.
That's incredible. Seeing people for what they can be. That's, you know, potentiality, right? Dr. Deepak Chopra. Potentiality. That's what that is. So, and Mr.
So as it turned out, how I wrote the book was, I'm thinking, I've been thinking about this book for 12 years. And after that meeting, I came home, I wrote the first chapter, the principles of encouraging people and why that is important for everybody, how it can change my life and your life, what it does for you when you encourage somebody. But how I ended up writing it was, I had all these radio interviews. I had interviewed the guy to put Seinfeld in the syndication. He knew Jerry, he walked the red carpet. And he went through a life change where he found some incredible encouragement. I met all these other people from around the world, England, South Africa, Singapore, and they all had these stories about somebody encouraged them. So I ended up finding a guy that in England that could transcribe all my radio shows and put them into chapters. And so that's how it ended up getting published very quickly. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah. Well, you know what, isn't it nice though? Because when people think about, so look, you know, I have a publishing, you know, company, and I focus on the, you know, entrepreneurs and, you know, the same kind of people that I'm talking to. So, you know, mine is niched around people that are in business. And you know, those people doing really good things in the world. Right. So, but as we go through that process, one of the things, because I do anthologies and I collect stories, much like what you probably did there, you just collected them through your interviews, is that people go through a real process, right? To write a book. So a woman that is actually doing all the public relations and compiling of the books that I do, she says that 87% of people want to do a book, but less than 1% of people do. And I think the block to a lot of that is the idea of having to sit down and really take the time to write. Because when you write, you process and you have feelings. The other part is, and we talk about this a lot with people that are the authors of the book, because they're not necessarily authors, they specialize in their sector, is they're like, even people, I had a woman, she's a $3 million income earner a year in the direct business that we talked about, direct sales. And she's like, was my chapter okay? Like, was it good? Like, who wants to hear from me? I'm like, what? But everybody kind of goes through that too. So having something like that where someone takes and actually does the compiling, and then I'm imagining that you're approving it and tweaking it as you go. But what a great way, and what good information to share with people that if you want to get your word out there or do something like that, they can call us and we can put them in right touch with the right person. But I think it's a beautiful thing for people to put their story on paper, because I think it's really affirming for them, and it makes people realize they've gone through some things and they've survived it, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. And to your point, I've actually, since I've been here with these phones, I can just go on my note page. And when I think of something at 3 o'clock in the morning, I just write it down. So I have this whole list. I've already got the book sketched out in my mind. And because of the way radio was done years ago, when it was reel to reel tape recorders and it was cart machines and live this and that. I'm thinking about calling it Life in Fast Forward, because when you had these reel-to-reel tape recorders with people's radio shows on them, you had the fast forward stuff. And so that's kind of been, I've been basically a serial workaholic, and my life has been like 90 miles an hour, 24 hours a day kind of thing. So
you're living on fast forward.
Well, so I've learned it. Slow down. And Costa, you got to slow down when you come here, right?
Yeah. Jeff Olson, slow down to go fast. That's it. That's a famous saying.
It's
slow down to go fast. But let's rewind ourselves a little bit and go back to the encouragement book. Because when you talked about when people have their head down scanning, when people, and actually being able to lift them up, and your book is, it's a compilation of these encouragement stories. Like, tell us more about the guts of the book and what it's about, because that's something that you have actively right now just put together that people can tap into.
Well, this is the longest subtitle in history, probably, but it's How to Become a Barnabas Leader, Inspirational Stories of Real Life Courage, Unleashing the Power of Encouragement in Your Business, Family, and Relationships for True and Meaningful Success. Could I make it any longer than that?
I don't know. Does it cover the front and the back cover of the book or what?
Yeah, that's on the cover under the big headline, but I had a professional book cover made. And in fact, Mike Koenigs, You Everywhere Now, he had me on an interview panel when I was with like three or four other people that were working on their book when I went there. And one of the speakers was actually a Top Gun pilot trainer at Miramar, was one of our trainers. And if you bought his extra course, you got to go on the aircraft carrier bar with him and have a drink, which I did not do, but the aircraft carrier was sitting right out down there in San Diego Bay. So there was those kinds of speakers and podcast experts and stuff.
That's cool. That's very cool.
That's the name of the book. It's a real life courage stories of people that been through hell and lived to tell about it.
And you know, when you in your subject, so first of all, my new nickname for you is Mr. Encouragement. So Media Mogul, Mr. Media Encouragement, Media Mogul. So when you actually tell us, because people get it. They're like, oh, I'm going to read a story about someone else's, going through. I just call it a going through. And then that's going to be inspiring. But take it one step further, Dave. When people are reading other people's stories, how does that make them more successful as a person and in business?
It's much of what you said about the person that was very successful yet felt intimidated. We've all got our intimidation blind spots on, I think. And so it's really showing them, specifically chapter one is what I started writing ebooks using these Sam Carter one-page funnels, which is kind of fun. But the point is that I can show them how, if let's face it, a lot of big name people with no name are going through right now discouragement, despair, disillusionment, destructive lifestyles, whatever. And we all need to be encouraged. And even people you would have never thought of, like Robin Williams, stuff happens. And so I think there's hope for people, but we can be that hypodermic needle of hope and not, mainlining hope, if that's a horrible thing, way to put it. But the point is that there are people right around us that are saying, how you doing? Oh, I'm great. How you doing? Oh, okay. And they're lying to you. I happen to be a Mr. Networking guy. I will walk up to anybody and start asking, hey, where are you from? How you doing? Tell me about yourself. I love asking questions. I think questions is the key to just to getting to know people and building relationships based on where they're coming from. It's not intended to be about me.
Right. Well said. Well said. I think that it's very true. I mean, I organize masterminds, but there is a mastermind that I actually am a participant in, and we all join in. So in that mastermind, and it's interesting because people think the more income you have that somehow your problems don't exist. And they're like, oh, how are you? Like, oh, she's great. She's just got an award last week. Oh, that's great. Dave's awesome because he's got, six New York bestsellers, and there's an assumption. And here's the interesting thing. When you do break down and get real, because in that we're real, right? And you have to have a certain income to be in and da, 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 da. And so you're there, you get to be real. It's like, honestly, I think it's like the best unpaid therapy ever. We're like, okay, you get to be real and not have, my point to it is that anybody at any stage, no matter what it looks like, no matter what they drive, no matter what everybody needs hope and inspiration. Like you said, it's an intravenous thing. I mean, and I think the more that people have their own challenges, but then We've all gone through world challenges, things that we have no control over. That has been, I think, part of the biggest challenge, is because a lot of times with ourselves, we're like, okay, I can go do this or I can go do this. But this last experience that we've gone through for the last couple of years has been a lot of the control of being able to do what you think you should do or what have you has been out of your hands.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I find it somewhat weird in one respect, but it's happened to me all my life, where for some reason, people don't have any trouble telling me stuff, confidential stuff. And they just open up to me. And you can call it a gift, or I'm just totally weird, or whatever you want to say. I am, but let's not go there.
Let's not go there. That's interview Dave Henning 2.0. Well, I think you're probably just an earth angel, my friend, you know, where people feel like, you know, they feel your goodness, you know, kind of in your energy, and they feel safe around you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have been known to gently confront people. if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, there's a little ancient verse that says speaking the truth in love. And I can actually, you know what? I can actually insult somebody as long as I'm smiling at them.
So if you're ever out for coffee with Dave and he doesn't stop smiling, there's your first clue. Look, I want people to understand, because when the title of your book is pretty self-explanatory, except please define for us this Barnabas thing. What's Barnabas?
Well, he is a guy, this goes way back to actually the very early story in the Bible, where it was almost like a communal thing that happened after Jesus left the earth, and all these guys were left wondering, now what do we do? Let's go back to fishing. Well, anyway, his name was Levi, and it just so happened that a bunch of people started just donating property that they own and donating food to each other and just helping each other out. And so the 11 remaining apostles says, hey, I call him Barney. Let's call him Barnabas, because that is just a lot of the ancient names had certain meanings to them. You know, like Abram's name was changed to Abraham, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and names had specific meanings. So like my name, David, my parents didn't even know what to name me. So a nurse said, hey, why don't you call him David? So I was named by a nurse in the hospital. So it just so happens I'm either named after a famous king, David, who is a very, very influential guy with a slingshot, or I'm named after Super Dave on the old Smothers Brothers show, who ran around in a little white suit on a little tiny motorcycle and did stupid things.
I think you're generously somewhere in between. I think you've got both. I think you've got both identities. Oh my gosh. Okay. We've taken people on lots of a big journey here. So here we are, Dave. Obviously people are like, you know, they're inspired and motivated right now. So how can people, first of all, get the book? Because I think the book it encompasses so much of what you've done and what you've gone through and what people have gone through. So first of all, tell them that. And then what do you got going on? Like, I know you got a podcast. Like, tell people how they can kind of hang out with you further now that, you know, we're kind of coming to an end here. And I have a special question for you, just like you had for me on your podcast. Ask my special question in a minute. But first, I want to make sure that, you know, people can reach out and connect with you.
Sure. So the book, you can, if you just, you know, I like the J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. So if you go on Amazon and type in D.L. Henning, and it'll pop right up. And I got an author page. They can click on that if they're interested. And then I actually wrote a children's book that was kind of a goofball children's book that I got some lady in Sri Lanka to do the illustrations. And someone said, hey, your illustrations look like Beavis and Butthead. Perfect. It was about a little mouse, a little curious mouse who ended up in the Bethlehem Holiday Inn when Mary and Joseph couldn't find a room, and he's sitting over by the fireplace and observing everything. So those are my two books. But D.L. Henning, that you can find in the book. And also, though, I've condensed this down into a little ebook, which you can get. It's on that banner, ebookpowerofencouragement.com. And I give a lot of little bonus downloads with that, but also people that are willing to do that, it's just a couple bucks. The follow-up will be that I will do a free workshop with them online on a Zoom call or something. So I really just want to connect with people. My website one of them is called, what is it called? freshstartdigitalmarketing.org, freshstartdigitalmarketing.org. That's my advertising agency. I do a lot of copywriting for a big national company here in Costa Rica. I don't want to mention any names because I don't want to embarrass a Coldwell Banker.
So look, Dave does copywriting, and you can go to that short website address of Fresh Start Digital Marketing.
There's a link there where people, if they're a business owner, they can talk with me for 15 minutes for free.
Yeah. And so you are going, so Up and Coming is a workshop, a Zoom, something that you're doing. And what's the content of what's that going to be?
It will be about as you mentioned, the principles of encouragement and how to implement that in your business, as well as in your personal life.
Okay. Awesome. And then you've also told people where to go get the book, and there you go. So I know that you're in Costa Rica, so we don't want to keep you away from the sun too long. So I have a special question for you. And I think particularly knowing you, this may be difficult, just like when you kind of asked my question to me and I was like, can I have more than one? But you didn't let me, so I'm not going to let you either. So look, let's say you're going to, a desert island. Let's pretend there's no one else where you are. So you're going to on a desert island and that's it. You're going, you're done. You're living your life. You're taking one suitcase. And in that suitcase, you have one room for one album. Now there's a record player on the desert island. It's more than just one song. So I'm going to give you a whole album. This is the album that you couldn't imagine not listening to for the rest of your days. What album is that?
Abbey Road, side B.
To the stars, you named it. You have no idea how many people struggle with that. They're like, how about my whole soundtrack? I'm like, not an answer. Not unless you're a recording.
That's had a special memory for me because some guy gave me a little pill that I didn't know what it was, and I stayed up all night right when Abbey Road was released and listened to it over and over again. Dude, the old lysergic.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I had a similar but different, that's all I'm going to say, incident. And so when people say a similar but different, and you know what, when people, like, if it was like, what is it? I said it to a friend of mine who's actually an incredible music guy in Ireland. He actually owns a Michelin restaurant now called Orr. There you go. There's a plug for you, Kieran. But we had a conversation one night, and for me, I said, the song that absolutely has to be played at my funeral, and no one's going to probably know how deep and dear the song to me. Because if you said, what was Deb's favorite music? They're going to say, it's Fleetwood Mac. It's Janis Joplin. I mean, it's Elton John. But it's actually Deep in the Motherlode from Genesis. If you have not heard Deep in the Motherlode, Genesis, when, before Phil went off and did his own thing, Genesis, Deep in the Motherlode, that's the song that's going to play. And 90% of the people will be like, oh, I don't even know why she'd play this. But I had the same incident. I have a very special memory.
Well, the reason I picked obviously the Beatles is because I got to see Paul McCartney in Charlotte. And then I got to see him again at the very last concert at Candlestick Park in San Francisco, which was also the last place the Beatles performed live, was at Candlestick Park, right before they tore down Candlestick Park. And I was in the fifth row, and Paul, his band breaks. He played for like 3 or 4 hours straight. And so,
History. He was just here. I saw him, I think 4 years ago, and then just before things went, maybe 6 months before things went funky, he hadn't been in Vancouver, Canada since 1964 when the Beatles came, and there was like a riot because people couldn't handle it. So there's a riot, so they got him out of there, right? And so they never came back since 1964. And so when he came here a few years ago, he got on stage. Obviously, he was on his own. And he profusely apologized for not coming back. We're like, yeah, that's a long time, dude. And what is he? How, you know, he's definitely clear in his wisdom years. He played for hours, like a true rock star with three encores.
Amazing. And then my good friend Phil Kagi, the guitarist, actually was asked by Paul to play at Paul's daughter's wedding in on the East Coast from here. And so I know a lot of musicians.
In case you don't know, Dave has just volunteered himself with all the information. Every time we talk, we get down this music. We go down the yellow brick road and we talk about all this music. And so, of course, you guys know that I'm doing the Dublin Walk in August of 2023, walking 10 marathons to raise money for the music industry. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to suck all Dave's contacts dry. We're going to have a big button and a t-shirt. We're going to have to hand his books out as we're walking because he's going to be such a big part of the project, whether he likes it or not.
Sweet. I might be there handing out beer or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Encouraging. And you know what? Oh my gosh, here it is. Dave, here's the business. So you're going to have beer. We'll line up with Kilkenny or Guinness or something, and it could have, you know, your book label, and it's going to be liquid encouragement.
There you go. Perfect. Love it.
Okay. Let's let people get back to their life and have a good day. Look, thank you so much for being just a really fun and rock star guest. And not only that, you just clearly make impact on the world. And you truly are an entrepreneur. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, all jokiness aside, thank you so much for everything you do, because you can really tell. It's very impactful work. And if you out there are sitting there listening going, hey, I want to come onto the show, sounds like a really great idea. You want to participate in the Dublin event that's going on. You guys want to be part of a book. I have three incredible books that are coming out before the end of this year that people can put their quote in our planner for entrepreneurs. You can be a part of the 262 Women's Book for Entrepreneurs and Entrepreneurs. It's mission accepted. So if you are a woman or know a woman or someone who is identifying as a woman that wants to be in the 262 Mission Accepted book for entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, and media, please reach out. We're happy to have you. Dave, thank you for being such a grand guest today. And I'm now going to go listen to that song. So thanks very much. And we'll have you back, I'm sure, for Dave 2.0 soon enough.
Thanks, Deb. Thank you so much. Good to see you.